37 Mateo Spartans. And coming on, a big welcome back to number 25, Emmanuel Dennis.
Hello and welcome to From the Rooker End, a podcast all about our lives following Watford Football Club outside Vicarage Road. Trying to get out of the way of some young people playing a game of nutmegs. That's our sons. My name is John. With me is Michael.
Trying to play a game of nutmegs. I wonder who might have inspired that particular game. Hello.
Jason.
Magic of the Cup, good afternoon.
Yes, it is. 1-1, Michael. Yeah. And I think sometimes, you know, you probably can get pelters. You could, if I say the word phrase, I might say, actually, that was quite a fun game of football to watch.
I think so. I think the nagging doubt as the game ticked on was that they were going to probably turn the game around, which is going to be disappointing in a game that we probably should have been out of sight in, really. I think we had enough of the play, enough of the chances against a significantly weakened Southampton side, it has to be said, to put the game to bed. So there is that frustration. With hindsight, talking about it now, thinking about an extra game down there at Southampton, we could do without it, they could do without it, and Liverpool away in the next round midweek. It's kind of the whole kind of thing is sort of a bit sort of like, it just feels a little bit. Well, but you're right, the game itself was fun. We saw more of the evolution of this Watford side, which I think is why we wanted and expected Val to go strong with this side. No one really let themselves down. We didn't learn a massive amount, apart from the fact that I think we continue to grow to love this team and this club again. There's not been too many people, apart from me, moaning too much, walking up Occupation/Yellow Brick Road after the game. And I think you're right. I think your general conclusion is that was quite fun. This has been From the Rooker End.
Do you know what? There was a point I was thinking about. If we come off here and it's nothing really happens and we don't see much, it could just be nothing new. There'd be not a lot to talk about. But I think there is a few little topics that we can talk about. We won't go for too long. Jason, but sort of concluded the overall feeling of the game. Young Eli said something. He said, would you prefer to lose away at Southampton or would you prefer to lose away at Anfield?
Prefer not to lose either. I want to go to Anfield because then it means winning another game of football and then getting into the next round of the FA Cup. And then whatever happens, happens. Yeah. The most disappointing thing is that fifth round tie, if we do get through, is midweek.
And
I think that takes a lot away from it. It means a lot of people won't be able to go. Yeah. And it's a shame because it's, having now been back in the Championship for a couple of seasons, and we know, even though we had a good run in the Premier League, moments like this don't come along often for Watford. So the opportunity to go to Anfield is a good one. I still want us to win at Southampton and then go to Anfield and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a moment when it was about six minutes where the draw came out and you could hear a little bit, and the atmosphere in the crowd sort of dropped. Got a bit cheery when we found out that those friends up the M1 drew Manchester City, but that's another thing altogether. So, right, let's go through the game into the players and in terms of like maybe the positions. Should we go back to front or front to back?
Let's go back to front.
Okay, Matty Pollock, player who's
start right at the very back.
Backman.
Start at the back.
No, that was really interesting because remember the last game we played here where he was, again, not comfortable, not 100%. Was getting pelters very quickly from the crowd when the littlest mistake happened. He wasn't making mistakes. In fact, there was only one solitude voice in front of me who was clearly had a lot of baggage and worry and everything towards Mr. Backman. That's the thing, I suppose, with him, is it was good for him to get through that game without a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
And to put a good foot forward.
I think we'll get to the end of the game and get your views on whether there was a mistake from him at the end that cost us. I couldn't really see from my vantage point in the Sir Elton John. I think overall, Ben Hamer's performances since he's come in have proved the limitations that Backman definitely has. Mm-hmm. I think we look more solid with Ben Hamer in, so that I think has been put to bed. And I probably stuck up for Dan Backman a little bit and will continue to do so. He's a Watford player. I'd get my support. But Ben Hamer, at whatever he is a better goalkeeper than Daniel Backman. In terms of his performances today, you mentioned Chesterfield. I think his sort of reticence and slight mistakes turned the tide in the Chesterfield game today. I think he looked a lot more composed and dominant and made some decent saves. His distribution is something that people complain about. Was absolutely fine. There was no sort of near misses there. He made some good saves as the game went on. Had to sort of strong wrists and yada yada yada, all that sort of stuff. All the stuff you'd expect a keeper to do, quite frankly, but all the stuff that has often been problematic for him, and especially knowing that he's not getting games week in, week out, knowing that he's playing for his place, knowing that he's playing with probably at least some of the crowd not really rooting for him. So overall, you're not going to look at Dan Backman's performance and go, oh my God, that was absolutely horrific, he's going to have a terrible night's kit. But whether the goal at the end, he could have done something about it. I initially thought that it had taken a deflection because he was late to react to it.
Well, the picture I've seen that was shared, I think Geordie shared it because he's not at the game, is he? So it looked like where the ball was coming from, Backman is looking over a player in front of him.
He's shifted his weight, hasn't he? He's shifted because there's two players in front of him. I think Armstrong, I don't know whether he's shaped to try and put it in the far corner or Backman's just checking to see if he's going at the far corner. He's gone near post and his weight's on the wrong foot, and it means, by the time he'd have transferred his weight to make the dive, you think, yeah, he's not going to get there.
I saw Jordan, Watford Analytics, put on Twitter that it was a really smart finish, so you might be onto something there, Jace. Armstrong's gone to hit it bottom right and has switched the last minute and tucked it at the bottom left. Completely done Backman. And look, we'll see the replays, and it's gone in. It's ended up in the back of the net. I'm sure he hasn't kept a clean sheet, so he'll be disappointed with that. I think the other conversation is about whether the defenders could have done a better job of getting the ball away before that shot came in. By that stage, we had a lot of defenders on the pitch. Portis had come on, and we'd seeded the out, if you like. We were basically cashed in all our chips and said, right, we're going to try and hold it out, and we weren't able to. And it's often when the sort of system, when the plan, when the structure is given up, that's when these sort of chances happen.
So giving up at this point because we've overburdened the defence to try and just have more bodies in it, that throws off the organisation?
Yeah, potentially, at very base level, too many cooks in there. When you've got a back four or a three and a wide two or whatever, you know where you're supposed to be, you know what area you're covering or what man you're responsible for. And when that is, there's less of a, you can't, well, there was, we couldn't get the ball out, we couldn't get the ball away because there's no one up there to either dribble it out or play it out or hold it up. So we probably had opportunities, if we watch it, to get the ball away. I guess on the face of it, it's a sensible call to try and shore things up, see the game through. It's not a decision that Valerian Ismail's probably going to face too much criticism for, but
you're trying to find some, though, I think, there, Michael. Oh, it sounds like it.
Bloody dog boy. But, so I think I'm just vaguely disappointed, really. I don't mind admitting, I was quite looking forward to putting an end to Southampton's unbeaten run. It would have been quite nice to do that. So it's just one of those things. They brought on four, I think we worked out they'd made nine changes at the start. We looked like the better side for large swathes of the game. They brought on four of their better, more sort of consistent performers. Both the Armstrongs came on, one of them scored, and they did look better after those substitutions. We were tired, and they did have chances to win it. But yeah, look, it was overall, I think that's the Watford team we know.
Yeah,
and I haven't got a problem with it necessarily overall.
Sure,
definitely.
Okay, Jason Pollock in and out centre back with Hood. Interesting because of the point of view, and we've seen rumours, and I think we even had a message of someone saying, oh, he's off, he's going to Derby. You know, did he play today because of that, and actually the club saying, no, we do love you, we still do want you? But as a fan watching it, having not really seen him play that much football at all, for Watford at least, he didn't do anything that's going to make you worry if he's on the sheet in the future games.
No, not at all. In fact, my first thought when I saw him on the pitch was, is he on there? because he's in the shop window. It's that ego, you know, he's a man, he's available, see what he can do, see if you like him or not. And left the game thinking, well, if he plays on Wednesday, against Wednesday, I'd be happy. I thought he put in a good shot, and I thought that that central pairing today, I thought, was the best pairing we've seen for some time. I mean, it's perhaps it's quite an obvious statement because we've not kept a clean sheet for some time, have we? And we obviously didn't. Nearly did today. Nearly. So close. Sorry, Michael. But I thought they looked comfortable. And we talk about all the changes. They still had Che Adams up front. Still had him to deal with. And I thought they dealt with him pretty effectively. Pollock didn't do those things that sometimes we accuse Sierra and Porto of doing in terms of too tight to players or sort of going in and herring and sort of disrupting the shape. The two guys, the shape was good. And the challenges were good. They did have to make some vital interceptions and touches in the first half, and both did that. There was some good tackles from Hoot, some good sort of interceptions from Pollock at times as they tried to thread balls through. But generally, I thought they dealt with Southampton effectively well in that centre back pairing.
No, it was quite nice. Lewis also coming back there, Mike, on the left hand side. With Andrews on the right, actually led to something Jason and I were talking about a bit about. The triad of Lewis, Asprilla, and Chatfatate really sort of a sort of it was a lovely speed going through those three. Fluidity.
There's definitely a footballer in Jamal Lewis. He's definitely comfortable with the ball. He's definitely.
I'm sure his tax form says that as well, and maybe his insurance. Occupation: footballer.
Yeah. Thank you. I get paid by how often I state the obvious. But you know, he is comfortable on the ball. He is athletic. I just feel like he's at 75%. I think we're getting 75% of what we could do from him. Both in terms of his defence and his link-up play, and when he gets forward, he's got a decent left foot. Was it him that had a decent crack with his right foot as well in the first half? The ball broke to him, and he got a shot away. So I do like him. And you mentioned Asprilla. I know we're dotting around a bit. I think he's kind of in the same bracket for me. We're not getting quite what we know we can from him, and perhaps we're seeing why he's or hasn't really settled down. Since he's moved from Norwich to Newcastle now here, he doesn't feel like he's at the top of his game. A decent player to have.
Yeah.
And will no doubt play an important part. But he leaves me a little bit cold. I think what we're seeing from a lot of these players, they're probably having to give it a bit of oomph and a bit of effort, and it looks good because you're thundering in, and it could be actually you're thundering in because it's a covering tackle to make a mistake. And you don't necessarily see that from him so often. It might be that he's more in control than the others, and me being an idiot, I criticise him for it. But just not quite sure about him. I think we could be getting much, much more in terms of the attacking play, the link-up play down that left side. It's not quite
happening. I think that's maybe what I liked about today. There was link-up play. And actually the linking up always feels, when you're part of a team, not just, say, doing an individual run, and yeah, doing some great crosses that might lead to goals, but the fact it felt like they were a little bit more in sync felt a bit better. We are flicking around a bit in terms of the positions, but let's flick to the other side of the pitch. Asprilla and Martins had sort of switched over.
Yep.
So that was a bit different. They weren't inverted. They were on their sort of right side. What do we think about that pairing? Do you think that's, again, you might, was that for practice? Or is that for options? Or is it actually go, oh, no, I think that's better?
I don't know. What it should mean, and I think what it did mean, is decent balls, or opportunities to put decent balls into the box. They weren't always decent. But we did see it, I think, early in the second half when Asprilla was getting down there. We really did see it from our view in the rookery. A couple of good balls he put in. There was one, Byers in, Byers going to score, and the defender just hooked it away, isn't he, at the last.
Yeah.
And I think there were a couple in the first half where it looked like it's just good defending from Southampton centre-back stopped the ball getting through to our attacking players. So, yeah, I think that was good. Perhaps there were times where, I think there was a moment where Martins has gone through and you think he's in here, and he hasn't quite made the right decision. He's let the defender get back to him when you think, OK, that's a wasted opportunity, really. If he was on the other side, he probably would have cut in and had a shot at a goal. But I don't think it's a negative thing in the bigger picture and the way we played and the way we set up, I liked it. I think I'd be happy if we stuck with that again. Yeah, keep them on the right side. And yeah, let's see, get balls into the box, because I think, I mean, we're going to talk about Bayo as well.
Yeah,
anyway,
the next one, yeah.
But yeah, with him and the way he was playing and sort of looking to get onto the ball, I think, yeah, let's stick with that.
Yeah.
Much important to mention that Espria won the free kick for the goal as well, quite early, as is quite frequent in Watford games. We seem to have, we seem to make hay down both flanks early on in games. We ask questions of those full-backs, whoever we're playing, and he beat his man, was brought down pretty clumsily, he was well beaten, and Matthias Martins put in the lovely free kick, really, really good finish, putting another long sort of overdue thing to bed, scoring from a free kick. But yeah, Espria, again, to state the obvious, he is skillful, he's talented, he's tough.
He's a little bit too short. There was one cross that came over in the second half. He didn't jump. He could have jumped, but just skimmed his head. Oh!
Not sure we can do much about his height. But
no.
He continues.
Maybe get me on those stretchy things.
Yeah, the rack.
Yeah.
Continues to sort of show that he's a decent player. Yeah. Continues to be one that slightly, we just need a little bit. We just need him to catch fire. Yeah. We just need him to catch fire. But yeah, that won the free kick that led directly to the goal. So yeah. A key moment in the game.
And again, was causing lots of problems. Second half caused more problems. Someone in the middle, Jason, to sort of get on the end of it, or at least be there a little bit. There were opportunities. The balls were maybe not just going quite to the right place, or the running in the wrong directions, and there wasn't that sort of in sync that you sort of want from wingers and to centre forwards. But Bio sort of showing why we had to go into the market to get Mr. Dennis, who we will get to in a minute, Michael, do not worry. But he's just not right, and it's a lot of hard work, but nothing's clicking, is it, there?
I was pleased with the performance from Bayer today. I thought we saw one of his better performances, but perhaps that's the problem. We saw one of his better performances today, and maybe it was still a little bit short, but I thought we saw the effort from him today. We did see moments of skill, some good thoughtful play from him as well. He wasn't trying to do it all himself. There was a moment, I think, in the second half. In fact, it was late, wasn't it? It was when it was 1-0 right at the end, where as Southampton were going more and more forward and we were retreating more and more, makes his job harder and harder. He'd won the ball, controlled it, I think, or did he flick it first time? I can't remember. It was a great pass over the top for Andrews to run onto, who we haven't spoken about yet, and we probably need to for Andrews to run onto. And then he sort of turned and looking to make the run then in behind, and he's been clattered because Southampton, no, he's still on his game. Yeah, they need to stop him. They need to do something slightly illegal to stop Bayo then making a run. But yeah, throughout the game, I thought he was good holding up the ball. His passing was good, which hasn't always been the case when he's then sort of laid the ball off and looking for other men, bringing other men into the game. Perhaps it was in the second half, there were a couple of balls that came in that you think, oh, if he was in the right place, if he was taking a gamble to get on the end of it, maybe he'd sort of drop back when we wanted him to gamble. But generally, I thought it was a decent enough performance from him today.
I think we saw his limitations. I think Jason's right. I think I liked his energy, I liked his work rate. His touch was good. His discipline was good. Overall, his positioning was good, and he added to the performance. What I think we saw was lacking is just that instinctive striker's ability to sniff out where to be. I think if that was another team creating those chances and they had a better striker, they'd have probably had two or three today. Just because it's sort of the reaction to, if the ball comes loose, a good striker is there.
It did come loose at one point, and he was there, and he put it wide.
Yeah, he did, and he had a couple of shots that were wayward, off target. So, yeah, definitely one of his more mature, I guess, if you like, performances, and he contributed a lot. But can he sniff out a goal? I think he struggles. And there's a couple of times, and again I talk about it, our wide play is quite good. We often get the beating of the man, get the balls into the box, and you'd expect, this is very, very basic and reductive, you'd expect your number nine to be a random penalty spot.
Yeah.
If your wingers are out wide, they've got the run of their man, as a striker, get yourself on the penalty spot. Here's one for Dave and cliches in and around the penalty box. So be ready and alert. And all too often that happens, and then your man isn't there. Your target man isn't where you need him to be. And I think, I don't know why that is. That could be more by design. And I ask the question now, WhatsApp group, is that something that are we looking to arrive late? Are we looking to pick up second balls? What is it? But for me, you've got talent wide who can beat their defenders. They're going to put balls in. You want your striker in the middle so he can latch on and score. And I think he, all too often, he's not in the right place for me. But I'm Jason, absolutely correct. I liked his application today, but I think we also saw his limitations, which was a shame, because otherwise the game could have been put out of sight, really.
Before I get to Mr. Dennis, Sierra, great game, Sierra, nice game, yeah. And Andrews as well. Two, you know, players in Sierra. We said Pollock looked good because the first time we've seen him, but those are two players that have had lots of opportunities and developed because of those opportunities.
Yeah, I think Sierra, it's in terms of disrupting Southampton in sort of just in front of the defence, protecting the defence, probably suits his game more than playing centre back. You know, I was bang on about him being too tight to his man. He did that well in sort of that CDM position today.
He disrupted the Southampton fans as well. They were booing him because they thought he was Wesley Gurt for half of the first half, which I thought was quite funny.
That was fantastic. Andrews, I think we need to give a lot of credit for another good performance from him today. And at the end, when legs were tiring, he was still working hard. He still seemed to have that energy. I think Colin was saying to me in the second half, we're not going to be able to hold on to him for much longer. He's looking good. He's looking good.
And he popped up right at the end there with the ball on the right hand side, and perhaps could have squared it. But I think it's a measure of his continuing confidence that he took it on. He thought, right, I'm going to have a go. It was the wrong decision. But I've been critical this year of Watford players not taking on an opportunity, not taking a chance. He's gone for it, and I think that speaks to the type of footballer he is. And he is no shrinking violet, and there's a reason for that. He's supremely talented, supremely quick. I think I saw somewhere quoted, I don't know if it's him saying he was faster than his dad, but certainly someone said he's faster than his dad, and his dad was bloody rapid. So for that to be sort of conferred by someone, whether it was him, whoever it was in the camp, that tells you a lot. And Colin and Jason are right. He is, as talking to someone before the game about who's looking good for Watford, and luckily he hadn't really heard about Ryan Andrews, and I was waxing lyrical about and saying how good he was, and he hadn't heard of him, which I think is a good sign for us.
Yeah, for a couple of years at least. Yeah.
Because I think he can go all the way to the top. But yeah, love seeing him as part of that back four. And I guess if you run it back, John, so Jamal Lewis sort of not eye catching, but fine. Pollock sort of doing a really, we're playing on a Sunday. That's a Sunday centre back performance, which is good. You want that. Meet your potatoes, sort it out, get the ball out when you can, into your tackle, committed. Don't give the attacker a chance. It was great from him. Hurt, I think, enjoyed playing against him, spraying balls left and right. Even with his right foot today, I thought Wes was good. And then Andrews on the right with Sierra Outer in front. It was a really good setup, I think. And with an eye on the most important, the more important fixture, which is Wednesday on Wednesday, going away with that sort of, having put in a performance like that in terms of, I've been so critical about how easy it is to score against us, and it's a bit of an ongoing joke that we can't keep a clean sheet. So to look relatively solid, albeit against a vastly, vastly, vastly changed Southampton side, I think that should give them confidence and give Val confidence.
Should we get on to Mr. Dennis? You would have heard his entrance at the beginning of the podcast. It was rapturous. He got a big round of applause when he was doing In the Corner We Are, the rookery for, you know, being back and welcome back, all the rest of it. Pretty much the performance I thought we were going to get, Mike.
I think before we talk about the pitch, what happened on the pitch, we need to talk about the stage-managed warm-up. Because we sent out the first group of subs to warm up, nice little ripple of applause. Yeah. Then the next three came out, nice little ripple of applause. Then there was sort of the precursor, which was King Ken coming back from injury. Yeah. He got to warm up on his own. Oh yeah, yeah, here comes King Ken. And then the main event. Here comes Emmanuel Dennis warming up.
Love it.
It was a big round of applause and a very good moment even on the sidelines. exactly the sort of performance we expect from a man who hasn't played a lot of football in a very long time. Really, that moment in the press like this week where it said, you know, he's 3-4 weeks away, Valerian said, and I wasn't quite sure about that. And I go, yeah, I can see that now. The fitness wasn't quite there. You know, a bit of a run in him at one point, but it wasn't a huge amount. Firstly that, but also that whole the thing we've been talking about with Bio and being a centre forward who's going to be poaching, that's a long way off, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think it sounds like Valerian Ismail is planning on playing him out wide, which is fine because he can be out wide and you can score goals from that, especially if you've we saw how skillful Emmanuel Dennis can be and how impactful he can be. So yeah, a sensible decision to give him 15 minutes today. If you were a betting man, you'd have said that's exactly what would happen. He'd get chucked on and see what he can do just to get some of that match sharpness back in your legs. I'm not sure how long he has been at the training ground. Some people suggesting it could have been as much as a week he's been training, but evidently not sharp. He looked rusty. He tried a little sort of trick on the edge of the
room. He absolutely does. Not there, Dennis. Not there.
Which he's going to do.
He's going
to
do
fit
it.
Fit or otherwise, we need to get used to that.
Our friend Dave Mullins, he came over to chat to us after the game, and he said, when he saw that, John, I thought of you. I thought you'd be going, I did a little bit.
But there's a bit of an intangible with Emmanuel Dennis, and what I love in games like this is when Southampton sniffed blood, they thought they could win it, and their fans got noisy. Then there was a little passage of play where the whole Vicarage Road got up behind Watford, because I can't quite remember what ignited it, whether it was a good tackle or a break or something, and it just the place just erupted for a couple of minutes, really, really noisy. And sometimes it just happens. You can't plan that. You can't make a crowd be noisy. But what helps do that is flair players are, you know, bums off seats players. And regardless of your opinion of him, that's exactly what he is. And you cannot deny the excitement amongst the supporters when someone like Emmanuel Dennis comes on. The best of him is a couple of weeks away. I've absolutely no doubt about that. But just getting 15 minutes into his legs against a decent side, who were at that stage in the ascendancy with some of their better players on the pitch, it can only be helpful. It would have been disappointing had that little shilly-shallying around on the edge of his own box led to a goal. That wouldn't have been the comeback, but it didn't. He's again talked about Ryan Andrews being happiest going forward. He's going to take it to the opposition. That's what he's going to do. That's what he's in the side to do. He is his happiest when he's causing chaos. And I think we're a little bit too measured. And I think if there's one thing that you can call Emmanuel Dennis, it isn't measured. it's still pretty surreal to see him back in a Watford chat. Although the amount of sort of social media we've seen this week, it feels like he's been back for about 6 months. sort of seeing him in a Watford shirt didn't really have the same impact as we've seen him in a Watford shirt for about 6 billion times this week.
Do you know, there's always that thing when players sign, and often they're like, "Well, there's a new kit." And my mate Tim, who does the rugby podcast, they have a massive thing about it. So when you have the new kit picture taken, and you've got the full on, you look really good. But if you're wearing your trainers, especially white trainers, it ruins the entire aesthetic. But certain bits for his, you know, video, the slow mo, the moving, the spinning around, it was great because you couldn't see his tracksuit bottoms he was wearing below. He's like, don't show the tracksuit bottoms. That makes him look like he's half a player. Yeah, that was a little silly moment for me this week with the social media content. But he's one player that's come in. Dennis, is he going to, you know, fit the problems that we have up front? Who knows? We will find out. Pollock, you know, again, we talked about him possibly going. The need for another centre-back. I'm not saying he's the answer or anything that we would be 100% happy with, but we're happier, at least, after seeing today's performance. We light in terms of right back, just because of the number of people and fitness. We've got 3 days of the window left, Michael. Are we going to see much?
I think Valerian Ismail has hinted that any recruits are going to be defensive-minded ones, and I think we probably do need. I thought James Morris, when he came on, actually did well. He put in a really, really important interception, I think, either from a corner or a cross. I don't think James Morris ever lets us down, but with a mind towards Jamal Lewis, for me, not being quite there, do we need something on that left-hand side, a little bit of bulking up there, something else, if Pollock is going to go? And it's a valid question, I think, after today's performance. The question for me is, he hasn't had a sniff before. He's had one today against a weakened Southampton, has looked okay. Is that going to be enough for Valerian Ismail to say, all right, I'm going to sign off on having Portois, him and Hurt and Sierra Alta as his options at centre-back? It remains to be seen. I think the whole market is so flat. I think the ins and outs throughout, not just in England, but as far as I can tell, Europe, have just... It's just been so flat.
Non-existent.
I don't think there's much money available. And I think Valerian Ismail will be very, very tough on his criteria in terms of who comes in. Because the reason we like this side, the reason we're enjoying it, even though I think that's only one win in six now for Watford. But you wouldn't say that we're downbeat despite that. That's not a great run of form. We're not losing many, but we're not winning many. But we like them because they're together and they're getting stuck in. And that sounds reductive and basic, but... You can see they stand tall when they're wearing that Watford shirt, and they play for us as supporters, and it's something we can get behind, and that hasn't happened by accident. And so I think Val will have some pretty high bars and criteria to be met. The honest answer, John, I've waffled for 2 minutes. I don't know. He said defensive. That would make sense to me because we haven't found the right key, to the right combination to keeping anything approaching a clean sheet, really. So that would make sense. And over to them to see what happens.
So with what we've got so far, Jason, there's always that thing as a football fan, the aim, what you're aiming for in the season, what you expect from the season. We are close to the playoffs. Do you feel that still should be an aim, or do you think actually from what you've seen, we should be hinting at the playoffs as an expectation?
I'd say aim. I think... That's what you need to. You need to aim high, don't you? There's no point just saying, well, we're not going to get to the playoffs, let's not bother. I don't think we'll get to the playoffs, but there's no reason why we shouldn't aim there. And like we said, with that likeable squad, that spirit, that squad that's got a bit of spirit about there, if Dennis does come good and brings that extra spark, he could be that sort of that spark of creativity. But then everything else has got to stay as well as it has been. He kind of feels like we sort of started slowly, we sort of built on it, and have we now peaked with the rest of the team? Are they up there playing at their best now? And we've got to keep that going, so they can't let that slack and think that just bringing in a bit of flash Harry, that's probably a bit unfair on Dennis, but a bit of bringing in someone who can make something happen, perhaps excite the crowd, excite things, doesn't mean that they can then sort of slack off. And it will happen. They've had to work hard to get to this point.
Yeah, like last year where we were sort of not dependent on, but the flashiness of Pedro.
Exactly. Yeah. And we're in the mix. We're close to it. So we're there. We've just got to keep working hard to keep it going. And because if for a minute we think, that's it. Yeah, we've achieved what we need to achieve, and we're doing better than what perhaps we thought we would do. Then it just turns south very, very quickly.
But that's a bigger, more important thing, I suppose, for next season as well, Mike. You don't want to end the season on a whimper, because you might start the following one on a whimper. So, what do we think about you, Michael, in your thoughts for this rest of the season? Expectations changed? Aims? Anything different?
My aim, I think, would be to be challenging for the playoffs. I think if you put a gun to my head, I think this squad is too thin as it stands. Obviously, the transfer window hasn't ended yet. I think the squad.
Yeah, but we're not. But imagine we're having a conversation where, as everything we've said is, we're not going to see anything drastic happening, are we?
No.
So we're not going to see steps up. We're just going to see more bodies. That's not necessarily going to change you that much, is it?
We could see Eli and Daniel signed up for Watford, because I think for the last 20 minutes they've been playing with Junior Chakvetadze
So Russell Martin's just walked past as well, hasn't he? So perhaps he was having a look as
and
well.
And Nani walked past as well.
I wonder whether Daniel and Eli might be having a play date round at Georgie Chakvetadze's at the time. And in that we could get a really good insight as to what we might expect for the rest of the season. But I would want us to be challenging for the playoffs. I think that's a realistic hope for us as supporters, to have something to play for. We were hopeful that we weren't going to get sucked into a relegation battle. It looks like that's going to be the case. It would be nice, as Jace said, for it not to sort of fizzle out into nothing. And I think we've seen enough that this side can be competitive. It wasn't last year, it was crap. It was just a mess. It was less
than remember, Michael. It's still there. Still having nightmares.
This lot have a plan to win football matches. They make hard work of it sometimes, and I think there are better teams than Watford. I think there are six better teams than Watford in the division.
Okay.
As it stands, but if we can be in the equation, if we can be part of that, then that's great, and I think that's more than most of us would have expected, and it will make sure the next couple of months are. We've said it's fun. For it to be really fun, you need to be winning matches.
Yeah,
and I think the next game is what, a Sheffield Wednesday away, huge test away, big club, big, albeit struggling at the moment, but it's a big ground.
But they will be fighting.
Yeah, absolutely, they will be fighting. Noisy, it'll be there. It's under lights. I talked earlier about the intangibles. It's one of those. It's a massive challenge, that. You look at the league table, and if people are doing their accumulators, they might sort of have a quid on Watford. But that is a massive test, and I think that will tell us, if we can carry on going away and not losing, that's massive. And that really is a sort of hint that we could, the rest of the season could be fun. I don't expect it, but I do want it. And I don't think there's any reason that we shouldn't be hopeful of that playing out. I want them to play as well as they can. I want them to stick together. I want them to improve as a unit. I want to cut out the mistakes. I want Valerian Ismail to be thinking about his substitutions. I think the last couple of weeks he's fallen into the trap of making them too soon and ceding back the initiative to the opposition. Let's do it. Let's go for it. There's no reason this can't be a fun couple of months. This is a Watford side I've enjoyed watching. The crowd is reacting. Vicarage Road is buzzy. It's full. Great crowd. Almost 17,000 here today. Obviously 4,000 Southampton. But we're back to a degree. It's Championship football and we're competitive. This is a good Watford side with a good manager. Let's hope they can carry on with their upward trajectory.
I think we've done it, Jason. I think we've done that thing we like to do on the podcast where Mike could be a little bit negative at the beginning, a little bit down, but I think he's up. He's positive. The Mikey we love is back. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much, Michael.
Oh, you're welcome.
And thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
And, of course, we'll be back after the Cardiff game next weekend. We'll have a couple of games to talk about against teams that like to wear blue. So thank you very much for listening from the Rookwind. And go on, you all!